I'm so grateful to be here, and I'm grateful for Reverend Paula asking me to give a talk today. It's been a long time since I've last given a talk here. So I had to get over being nervous and all the trepidation, and what am I going to talk about? And I said, I'm going to talk about what's been on my mind for a couple of months since the last class I had here. We had a class, a six-week class, and when we were in the general group and when we broke into pods, what kept going through my mind was our mission statement. We transform lives that transform the world. So I was trying to figure out, well, wait a minute. How can I transform somebody's life? I don't know how quite I can do that. So I know we don't proselytize. We don't drag people in and try to change their mind. And I know at Christmas time, Pamela has her wand. We can't zap them and make them come into the fold. So how do we transform lives that transform the world? And I started thinking, I said, well, I'd have to become an urban shaman. And that might do it. So wait a minute. What exactly is an urban shaman? Urban, that's a city or a township. And a shaman, I researched that. I went back to the etymology of the word, and it was from the Manchurian-Siberian border area. And the shamanism comes from Manchu Tungus, the word shaman. The noun is formed before the verb. The verb is sa, that means to know. And man, of course, is person. So it becomes a shaman, a person who knows. And that's my talk title, Becoming an Urban Shaman. But what does one know? What's the truth that one knows? Oh, if I get this close, it's okay. What's the truth that one knows? So I thought about this and I said, well, my truth may not be your truth, but I know what my truth is. And I said, well, who do I know that's been or is an urban shaman? And these are two or three people that I picked out that I would see as urban shaman. First of all, I thought about Martin Luther King, who was a minister, who promoted the end of segregation and civil rights for all. And he had followers, so to me, he was a shaman. I picked out Gandhi, who was a Hindu attorney, advocating India's independence from Great Britain. And because he followed his truth, many followed him in that. And of course, there was Nelson Mandela, who was an attorney. He was advocating freedom at the end of apartheid, and he spent 26 years in prison on Robben Island for that. But when he came out, he had followers, and eventually in 1994, he became president of South Africa. But 2,000 years ago, there was a shaman named Jesus. He didn't have an apartment, didn't have a house, and didn't really have a job, but he had the title of a carpenter. He would stop people and talk about his truth. People threw down their fishing gear, they threw down everything to follow him wherever he went. And that was on the sides of hills, under bridges, because there was no place. But he and the other people that I have mentioned, I consider urban shaman. So I don't know, I kind of feel like the need to interrupt, I mean, right now, as far as the urban shamans go, how do I become an urban shaman? How do I become an urban shaman? Most of the time, we go along to get along. We don't necessarily challenge anybody. We don't do that. So for me, to become an urban shaman, if I hear something or see something that I feel to be inappropriate, I'm going to say something. Now, how am I going to do that? Have you ever heard of something called calling out versus calling in? Okay, calling out aims to force a person to change their perspective. There's no opportunity for transformation in that. But here's what's calling out considered. You call out when you let someone know their words or actions are unacceptable and not tolerated. You call out, I think my notes have gotten confused here. You call out when you're challenging somebody. the need to interrupt or hit that pause button to prevent further harm to my psychological well-being. I call out when I'm being triggered to challenge or debate someone's opinion. And if I call out, I'm going to be considered the angry black woman. So what I want to do is talk about calling in, which aims to get a person to consider another view. And that's the opportunity for transformation. When I'm calling in, I'm seeking to understand and learn more. When I'm calling in, I'm making meaning together to find mutual understanding across differences. Calling in provides multiple ideas, different possibilities or outcomes, and encourages a shift in perspective. Calling out is focusing on reflection, not on reaction. And calling out retains a respectful and meaningful relationship. So when I'm talking about being a proactive urban shaman, I don't want to get beat up. I don't want to get anything that the previous people I mentioned, what happened to them, and Jesus, of course, was crucified for his truth. I'm talking about what must I do to become a spiritual urban shaman. So I have a couple of spiritual practices that I use, and I'd like to present them to you. First of all, I have a spiritual community, Unity Renaissance, and I have a committed participation, whether it's on Zoom, physically here, I'm here. Being part of a spiritual community accelerates my spiritual evolution. We pray and meditate here together, which is a united consciousness that supports our individual spiritual growth. It cultivates the expression for me of patience, humility, compassion, and unconditional love for all. That's what we hear about. The spiritual community is this beloved community, but the spiritual beloved community is wherever I am. Whether I'm in my home, my neighborhood, whether I'm at work, whether I'm at traveling, I'm at the grocery store. And what I found for me is now that we're wearing masks, it's almost a permission to not interact with anybody. But I make it a point, if I'm doing my regular walk and I pass somebody, I wave, I say good morning. If I go into the store, I speak to people through the mask just to acknowledge them so I don't lose that sense of communion and companionship with people that are here on this plane of expression with me. I think that's important. Okay, so I've talked about spiritual community. I want to talk about spiritual, and again, my notes have gotten confused here. I want to talk about spiritual study. But before that, I want to talk about meditation. I'm taking a meditation class here on Monday night that is fabulous. I have hit at meditation occasionally, but with Alex, who is the instructor, I am now, first thing when I get up in the morning, my devotional is to sit and be still, to be still and know. What do I know? That God for me is all that there is. I awaken to what's real. I expand my conscious awareness that God and I are one. I listen to that still small voice that's within me that will never fail me. And I set an intention to be in tune with the infinite, to be in tune with my day. I set an intention to have a good day. And that's part of my morning meditation before I move out of my house. And I don't work, I'm a retiree, but I've gotten in the habit of it with my lemon smelling candle and my reading for my devotional reading. And that's the way I start my day. I'm on top of the world and I'm in tune with, I'm practicing the presence. Sacred service, well, we see it all around us. These are people that volunteer, that come here. Sacred service is actually meditation in action. People that come here, they do the work. The blessing is of selfless service, being of service where nothing is asked in return. It's the joy of being able to give of yourself. It's volunteer in beloved spiritual community, and there are tons of volunteers here at Unity. Showing up and suiting up whenever there's a need for something, someone shows up. It's a desire to be a beneficial person on the planet. That's what sacred service is. And it's not just here at Unity, it's wherever. As Reverend Paula mentioned, I have been a docent for 18, 19 years down at the Chrysler Museum. I usher everywhere. I help out with senior services. That's all sacred service, and I feel good for doing all of that. Now I'll go to spiritual study. I have to maintain a beginner's mind, always be teachable, because awakening is a spiritual truth, a spiritual process that never ends. Every time I think I plumb the depths, never, can't get there. Spirit is infinite. It's always unfolding and expanding. How can I ever plumb the depths, you know? But I'm teachable, so I will attend book studies. I will attend workshops. I go to lectures, retreats, and we can do it so easily because we can do it online. We can go to Zoom, you know? You come here, but wherever you go, it's still spiritual study, evolving, bringing yourself up to another level. Tithing, understanding the law of circulation allows me to tithe generously and frequently. To tithe to the community is where I get spiritually fed. Tithing is to support the teaching and the mission of the spiritual community. Tithing transforms me and us into generous human beings. Tithing shows gratitude for the blessings that I receive. I give freely and without an expectation in return. Tithing increases my consciousness, of abundance and prosperity. And I stand firm on that. It does. And during a predicted period of recession, because if you turn on any news channel, there's always a recession going on. That's the time when I tithe and increase a bit to demonstrate that my faith is in God as my source, not the job, not what the newscasters are saying. I think it's a serious thing would be to take a break from that, because my awareness is in that time that I sit and meditate and I open my heart up in my consciousness. And as Alex says, practice breathing when your mind goes and come back and anchor, so I can keep hearing that small voice within that says, you can do it. Like it said, I can do this, what I'm doing right now. And affirmative prayer. So what about affirmative prayer? Affirmative prayer is not supplication or petition. It's recognition and acceptance that God is all there is, that there's not a spot where God is not. We are all spiritual beings, and all the abundance of the universe is already ours. It's already given. It was given from the beginning of time if we accept it and can embody the consciousness. And that's the work. That is the work. So often we see it and we desire it, but we have no concept of it. And I can tell you a little story. When I first was getting into Science of Mind, and I was in my office, and I was listening to Dr. Hornaday in California, and he was saying, people can't imagine they want to be a millionaire, but you can't embody the consciousness of a millionaire, because you don't know what that consciousness is about. And I sat, and I listened to that, and I said, but I can embody another $50 a month at my job. I was working at Santa Monica Unified School District. And by that time, I had one son, and I had divorced. And I could see myself getting $50 more a month. And they did a job evaluation, and I got a $50 increase on a monthly basis. I said, oh, you know, it came so fast, it kind of, is this real, you know? And I used that in proportions that I can accept, embody, and believe I can have. And I'm going to tell you, I fly high, because I've been teaching myself that and working at that. This is something that we all need to do. So let me talk about the steps in affirmative prayer. There's six steps now. The first step is called gratitude. Acknowledge that what I'm grateful for sets the tone within myself. The second step is recognition. Recognizing that God is all that there is. Unification, we are all of that one power, that one presence, that omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniactive, love intelligence that created all that is. It's only that one uniquely expressing in this magnificently diverse universe. And we need to remember that. Realization, I speak the truth about the person or the situation. You can't solve a problem from the level of the problem. I keep it upstairs in the higher consciousness where there's no balcony to look down on, and remember that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. God is never sick. So if I'm talking or I'm praying, I'm not praying about your problem, I'm praying about your truth. The truth is I understand it. And the truth is that you are spirit first, having a physical experience. And we have a tendency to reverse that. But I try to keep that in tune. I had a friend who used to do Tai Chi with me, who had open heart surgery at Sentara, and it was back in June. And for 2.5 months, he was on IC, the IC unit. And his wife was texting me, because she knew how close he and I was. She was texting me the blood pressure, the counts and all. And I started getting hung up in what was happening day by day with what was going on. I had to stop reading her text and keep my prayer on the level of what I know, which is God is all that there is. And yes, he did make his transition, but that was my prayer for him, to divine unfoldment, whatever that is. And I thought about, well, everybody's heard about the caterpillar that loves to live on the leaf, and it eats the leaf. If a caterpillar came to me and asked me to pray for it to stay on that leaf and be a caterpillar, I would have to really say no, because if I prayed for that, I'd never see a butterfly. So therefore, I have to remember that I'm not praying about changing the condition. I'm praying for divine order, whatever that may be. And the last step in an affirmative prayer is to the fifth step is to give thanks for the truth spoken, the word that's spoken, and the release to let the prayer go into the law of manifestation. You have to let it go. So I've shared 6 spiritual practices that we use to become an urban shaman: supporting the spiritual community, meditation, sacred service, spiritual study, tithing, affirmative prayer. But before I go, I have 2 things I want to read. One is written by Ernest Holmes, and it's from his book, Creative Mind and Success. Be sufficient unto yourself, and at the time include all else, and people will feel your strength and will have a desire to come into the radiance of it. Now, this is us being an urban shaman. And Mandela, at his inaugurational speech, he said, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. So, as an urban shaman who is practicing the presence and living out my truth, we can transform lives that transform the world. So let's pray. How grateful I am to be standing here in the sunshine, out in this wonderful place called Virginia, here in Chesapeake, here at Unity Renaissance, where everyone is connected, because we know that there is only one of us here, and that's God, that unique expression of each and every one of us. But there is only one power, one presence. I call it God. Some people call it Allah. Some people call it Hashem. Some people call it Brahman. I call it God. That is all that I know it by. And I know it is everywhere presence. Its center is everywhere. The circumference is nowhere. And as I know this truth for myself, I know this is truth for each and every one of us. This is who we are, that one from the beginning of eternity, from whenever that was unto and into infinitum, that there is only the power and the presence, shooting of itself, shooting out from itself, each and every one of us, every person, every plant, animal, and every mineral is no longer duplicated. It is always of itself, by itself, that own unique expression. And as I know this truth, I stand here empowered with the awareness that God is all that there is and that it is who and what I am. It breathes my breath, it beats my heart, and when I sleep at night, it keeps this body functioning so I can get up, meditate, and start all over again, being an urban shaman right here and right now. I bless this ministry. I bless this minister that came into here. When Unity was ready and had an opening, she had answered the call, and there was an explosion of energy that came about right here and right now. And I'm so grateful that she has taken this church and expanded it exponentially as I'm standing here in front of this addition. How sweet it is to know that we are on the road, that we are expanding, we are growing, we are becoming so much more. And as we walk around as urban shamans, we are opening the doors, allowing more people to say, there's something about that Unity group. Well, you're doggone right it is. We are on the move, empowering, growing, and expanding so that we can become more. I am so grateful for the word spoken, releasing it into the law of divine activity where I know it cannot become void indeed, because I've said it, it's already done. I am complete, and so it is. Amen.